Look, I can't afford to go to the doctor, but I'll tell you what, I got a horse out back, and so we keep some stitching material around for him. My wife's got a sewing kit. Oh, good times. Hey, it's the Rick Emerson Show. Ha!
And we're 15 minutes late.
Yeah, baby. We're not 15 minutes late, we're just early for the next thing. We're late. So very, very late. 503-733. That wasn't even a courtesy laugh. That was just sort of a 503-733-2970. It's the Rick Emerson Show. We'll talk about the, we'll do the Rockstar recap here. When? 2 o'clock. That was a little David Mamet speak there. Rock, recap? Yeah, recap. When? Two? No, the recap? Two?
Jim
yeah.
at two.
Who?
Jim Roop.
Oh, yes. Jim Roop, yes. we just sound like we don't know what the hell we're talking about. Let's see now. Now I'm getting all kinds of repossession stories.
Everybody's got one.
It's true. No, no. And look, I got to tell you this. How about this? This Trish says, did you ever get this? The email says it's from Trish, and yet it's signed Dave. Does Dave dress as Trish sometimes? Is Trish what Dave, does Dave use like his right hand and speak to himself in a female voice and call himself Trish? Is that a couple? Would you ever do that? Would you ever have a couple email that you just shared with somebody? I cannot fathom. And it's not
because
you're hiding anything. It's just, it seems like you're just begging for trouble there somehow.
Speaking of Jolie, remember her and her husband had one?
They still do. Mm-hmm. I still get email from Jolie every now and again. It's like, it's Rick and Jolie at. And I don't understand. You know, God bless them. They seem to, it's not about not trusting. It's just that there's, I don't know. Maybe there's something wrong about you and me, Sam. Maybe you and I are the ones who are screwed up. Because again, I'm not hiding something, but. It seems a little strange. I don't want to get into a whole thing. Anyway.
No, and sometimes things can be taken out of context in writing.
Hey, baby, thank you for last night. I'm still a pile of sweat and satisfaction. Okay. What is this? I don't know. Anyway, Trish Dave says, maybe you could make this a top five. Stories about when my car was repossessed. You could do 3 from Sarah and then 2 others. No, I don't think that's ever happened to you. Have you ever had a car repossessed? No, because you've never had a new car.
No, my car was just drunkenly destroyed by some chick.
Oh, that doesn't count.
That was Kump or something.
That's half credit at best. We could do top 5 terrible car stories that have happened to the Rick Emerson Show. Let's quickly go now. At the top of the list, Sarah's car being destroyed by a drunken moron. She goes to trial when? August 9th?
Next, 2 Wednesdays from now.
Fantastic. We are so there. All right. Tim, you've had the repo.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and also I had a coworker throw up in my car, and the car wash was closed, so I had to drive my car to work. I did the morning show, and that same day, my program director says, I need to borrow your car right now. So I took it to the car wash and tried to wash out the mess. However, it all settled on the floor.
Jim, do you have something you want to talk to me about?
So when
we have for a comprehensive detox program.
When he slammed on the brakes, a river of vomit went up his leg.
Oh my God.
From underneath the car seat, which I couldn't wash out.
A river of vomit went up his leg to fetch a pail of water. A river of vomit. That's like a river of vomit that's one of the plagues left out of the Book of Revelations when it went to the editor.
My
take out this business about the river of vomit.
I had something similar like that happen, except for it was in my friend's minivan.
Please now to tell.
Oh,
this is the river of vomit section of the
It totally is.
It's the Bob Rivers of vomit.
No, because you don't know what you're doing when you're like 16.
Yeah.
And so my friend had bought a bunch of like bright red Boone's Farm, and we drank
Farm wine? Oh.
No, and I was with a bunch of people I didn't know, and we were in the back of a van, and all of a sudden I kind of felt the urge to...
to hurl.
And I couldn't stop it, so I covered my mouth trying not to.
And did it just sort
it
of spray
got
out?
Everywhere, but nobody noticed because everyone was so drunk.
Did you have... Now let me ask you this. Did you, and we're asking, you know, this is for the kid, this is the for kids' sake segment, because young people, we don't want you to make this same mistake.
No.
Your body is a temple of Jesus and things, and guts, and so you should treat it with respect. So now when you had the urge, because you became sort of a vomit hose at that point.
Yeah, but I didn't, one of those things that you can't stop it.
Did you put your hand over your mouth like...
I put my hand over my mouth.
It's like when you're putting your fingers over your eyes in a scary movie, but just like your eyes you can still see through the cracks in your fingers? Is it so the vomit, was it sort of like this? You went to throw up, you go, oh, wait, I'm gonna, you put your hand over your mouth. Was it sort of like when the Play-Doh is extruded through the little star-shaped thing?
Yes.
You know what I mean? It just sort of focuses it through some little tiny openings.
I was sitting next to the window, so I kind of angled myself toward that and just covered the entire car with red vomit.
You know what that's like, too? That's like when you squeeze a garden hose or something, and it just focuses the spray, and it goes a lot further, and it's more concentrated.
No,
that's exactly
nobody noticed until the next day when my friend called and asked me to come over to his house.
Was it mostly solid?
No, it was all liquid.
It was all Boone's Farm?
It was all bright red.
And if you were in Russia, you could probably sell that to a homeless person.
That was the most humiliating thing.
A river of vomit went up his leg.
Ugh.
The best part is how a coworker had thrown up in your car.
Correct.
And that you didn't take like 5 minutes to hose it out.
Well, because this is in Simi Valley where everything closes at 8 and it was like 10. So if somebody vomits in your car, you're stuck with it till the next day. But if you're doing the morning show at 6, the car wash still hasn't opened yet.
And of course, this was probably like when it was 100 degrees outside. It's becoming a frittata.
So the perimeter, I need to borrow your car right now. It's like, let me go to the car wash first. I got to put some gas in it and so forth, and I'll bring it right back. Well, I didn't know that this river of vomit had settled underneath the seat.
Well, how could you? In what world would he? And the worst part is, like, at no point in his head at any time did it ever occur to him that his feet would be covered in vomit during that car
Correct.
Ride. That is not an eventuality he ever considered at any point.
At least he laughed it off. He's, you know, Tim, you tried your best, but you didn't get rid of it all.
No. Tim, I've noticed a peculiar defect in your car. I believe you have a poltergeist. I don't have anything to top that. All I have is that horrible story where I rolled my car backward while it was next. I had my door open. I was leaning outside a concrete post to wave my ID card to open a gate at my old apartment building. Anyway, the car rolled backward and the open car door caught on that post and it tore it all the way forward. Tommy Boy story. The Tommy Boy style. That's all I've got.
That is amusing, though.
It's not. The best repossession story, although we now have, it's sort of less repossession and more sort of regurgitation. But my friend Larry, who is, he's the worst combination of things, and he is a thing that you see all the time. He's a good guy, don't get me wrong. But he is a terrible combination of things, and you see it in radio all the time. Guy who works in radio and is therefore constantly unemployed and low paid, and then has a car addiction. It has no other addictions that I know of, but is addicted to cars. And you just can't, if you're in radio, you've got to keep your addiction small and manageable. You know what? Be addicted to matchbook collecting or something.
Cheez-Its.
Yeah. Yeah. That's it, man.
Right on 16 ounce
box. Small soaps of the world. Because if you're, and so he would constantly be either getting a new car that he couldn't afford, trading in his old car, which is only a year old, getting something new. But he had the pride and joy, the crown jewel of his car collection. Was, and I don't know what the year was. Dennis would know this. But it was a Stingray, you know, Corvette Stingray. And those, you know, I don't know a lot about cars, but those are beautiful. That's what Otter drives in Animal House. Beautiful car. With the soft top. You know, and I'm not much of a convertible guy, but I can appreciate how great that is. And so, but of course, what happens? He falls behind on his payments, and so they come to repo it. And this is some, and I know that technically repo men are not supposed to break any laws, but that's only in theory. In reality, they do whatever it takes to get the car back. And so, that's why a lot of them go, as Wyatt Earp would say, a lot of them go healed. You know, they're carrying weapons on them. And so, as he told the story, he had fallen behind. They came to his house in the dead of night, and he learned all this after the fact. Stingray, top up, in his garage door shut, door locked. They jimmied the door to his garage. They jimmied the lock. They end up actually breaking open the lock to his garage. They silent. He said he didn't wake up, so they must have been very quiet about it. They roll up to his garage, and of course, they don't want to make any noise and wake him up because, of course, if you're repossessing a guy's car, he's going to come swinging at you because, A, nobody likes to have his car repossessed, and, B, they're probably the initial assumption if you see somebody taking your car is not that they're the repo guy. You assume they're a thief, and you're going to be shooting them. And so they didn't want to wake him up. And so, but they didn't, so they didn't want to start the car, and so they took a knife and they just slit the soft top right open.
That happens in LA all the time.
Just cut it right open, and then, I don't know, they hot wired it, or they, I think they just put it in neutral and rolled it down the driveway and rolled it down the street. And he actually said, he said in retrospect that he is glad that they did that, because he said if he had come out and seen somebody slitting open the soft top of his car, he would have just beaten them to death. And I believed him at that moment. So I can't hold, my story is just embarrassing. My story is not even bad. It's just that I came out and the car was gone. And I did that horrible self-deluded guy thing of wandering into three adjacent parking lots. Anytime I would see a car that was even kind of silver, I would walk right up to it. Maybe this is my car. No, I guess not. And then finally just break down. You call and, have you ever had your car towed? You have to do the same thing. You have to go back. And this is the worst. When your car gets towed, and then you got to go back. This happened to Lara and I. In Seattle, they screw you in Seattle because there's parking spaces that are good part of the day. And then at like 4 p.m., they are no longer parking spaces. They become part of the street. Sort of like Burnside is that way. You can park on Burnside after dark, but not at, well, in Seattle, it's the opposite. Like we were down by the Showbox, if you know that area in Seattle. What else is down there? Bunch of porn shops down there, and it's not too far from the whatever the market, but you can park on the street, but then as soon as night comes you can no longer park there. So we park the car, it's fine, let's go off and have lunch, let's go shopping, we come back, car gone, daddy gone. And so then you got to do that thing of looking up at the sign, you know, please call Ray's friendly impounding at, and they answer the phone, and then you got to say that thing of
hello, do you have my car?
You know, and they say, why, yes, we do. Come on down and get it, sir. And it's just embarrassment compounded with anger, folded in with the humiliation, folded in with the urge to kill. So, it's all kinds of bad. All of these repossession things here. What didn't we just get to in this segment? How metal lyrics.
Wow, we just spent like a half an hour talking about this.
Well, that's because it's, you know what it is? That's relatable. That's what that is. And it's not even Thursday yet. You know what it is? That's a little preview of Relatable Thursday, which we do here on the Rick Emerson Show.
It all started with the mention of the year 1980.
This year in Tim Riley history, brought to you by... okay, so there you go. So 1980 is bad. It's just vomiting and blood and car repossession. 503-733-2970. Here's what we'll do. We'll take a break, come back with CNN Radio correspondent... Ed McCarthy. Later on, we'll do the top five burning songs. Later on, Jim Roop from Los Angeles, and we'll have the rock star recap coming up at 2. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970 Solid State Radio. It's the Rick Emerson Show, live from Portland. Live from Portland, 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Thank you for coming along. Don't forget, we have tickets to KUFO's Rockfest 11. One Louder, featuring Alice in Chains, Buck Cherry, Cedar, and Evans Blue. Also, some local bands like Floater. That's coming up this Saturday, July 29th, Columbia Meadows, 2 p.m. Tickets on available. I was trying to merge two things then. On sale and available. Now, through all Tickets West outlets, $35 plus service charge, but we've got some to give away, so we'll do that. And I think we've got one more pair. I think we've got a pair left of Demolition Derby tickets. So those went very fast. So we've got that's happening Sunday at the Washington County Fair and Rodeo, so we'll get to that. It's 503-733-2970. Later on, we have CNN Radio correspondent Jim Roop about some guy that's wanted to... Wasn't it some guy that he hasn't even been arrested for murder? They arrested him for just... taking photographs of women or something, and now they think he might be responsible for it. It's like 60 women have vanished. Am I? Well, we'll have him clarify that. So we've got that, and we'll do the rock star recap at 2 o'clock, plus spot the fake metal lyrics. Let's now welcome to the Rick Emerson Show from Atlanta, CNN radio correspondent Ed McCarthy. How are you, Ed?
Hey, good afternoon.
How are things down there?
Things are pretty good. Things are pretty good. The Revere Riders went through. You heard about that, right?
Is this the same group of nitwits that was, I'm sorry, the great group of concerned citizens that were riding into Washington, D.C. a couple weeks ago? Is this them?
This is a different group of concerned citizens.
Uh-huh.
Those were the Minuteman Brigade that went through.
Okay, correct me if I'm wrong here, but I was just noticing this. The Minuteman Caravan, did they just pick that for the rhyme? Shouldn't it be Minutemen?
Well, it would if, it's, you know, if they have more than two.
Well, yes, this is, we talked about this a while back, these fools who were, I mean, we all agree that immigration is a problem and so forth, but you know what, acting like a bunch of militia belonging nitwits is not going to get anybody to care about your cause or pay any attention to you, except for mockery and scorn, which is the reason we're now talking about it. So these guys who had been on some caravan all the way to D.C., now is this... These are the same type of people, but on motorcycles.
They're on motorcycles, and their claim to fame is that they're going to every state capital in the United States. The other guys pick selected cities. So these guys are going to every one they can come up with here in you know, the continental United States, and they're making it. August 12th is their date to go to Washington.
None of these guys have jobs?
Yeah, I always wonder about that. I mean, you know, maybe they just take the summer off for a cause. I mean, I don't know.
And they're called...
That's a question. I should ask that question, and it's a very valid one to ask, I think.
And ask, why are they called... Is this the Revere Riders? Is that a Paul Revere reference, I would imagine?
That is exactly it.
Right.
If Paul Revere had a motorcycle, the British would have heard him coming.
And, you know, the thing is, here's... And look, you and I both know this. It's like 100 degrees. These guys are on motorcycles. You know that you're going to be able to smell them from half a mile away at McCarthy.
Here they come.
I can't. Sir, you won't even need to keep an eye out, man. Your olfactory alert will go off as soon as they're within, as soon as they're within a mile of where you're going to be. So,
how often do they change those shirts? I mean, you got to wonder.
I have no idea. And you know that it's not really going to be bikers. You know, it's going to be a bunch of, like, stockbroker, white-collar sissy guys who are on motorcycles because they think it makes them look tough, which it does not. So, hey, Tom.
They're around. There'll probably be another group coming out in another month. You never know.
Apparently. Tell me about, I guess they realize that it can no longer get enough people for actual marches anymore. So now you just get whatever stragglers you can and just put them on a tour somewhere. Tell me a little about this kid. Is it 17? Is that how old this kid is? He was doing all these highway sniper shootings?
Yeah, they got him, and he admitted to them. So, you know, that put everybody's mind at ease on Interstate 65 traveling through Indiana. Yeah, that was really bizarre. And apparently he went from one place 100 miles away and another one. So they were thinking they either had a copycat situation or somebody else that, you know, he might have been in with doing this kind of stuff. And as it turns out, it was just him, and he admitted it. Everything matched ballistically, and they're all set. They got him.
And he was just, there was just some guy. Was he in a car? Was he just, like, laying up on a hillside somewhere with a sack lunch waiting for people to drive by?
He was up on overpasses and shooting, and unfortunately, one guy died as a result.
I think the heat is making people extra crazy in the South, Ed McCarthy.
I don't think you know what? The more I hear of all of this stuff that goes on, I don't think you need the heat as an excuse. There's just some real whacked out people around.
It's true. This country is, there really is some sort of a bizarre energy in this country over the last couple of years. I do think that's true. I don't think it's because I'm getting older. I think that people are actually getting nuttier and crazier with every passing year.
We had a situation today in Georgia where this woman, she did it every day for years, rode a 15-mile bike ride. It's called the Silver Comet Trail.
Right.
And they found her dead today, found her murdered. I mean, it's just, you know, you think you're in a safe area. You know, which is usually relatively safe, and you know, it's really terrible now.
Well, and then we got this story that Roop's going to talk to us about later. I'm looking at the story now. They got this guy in California, some photographer, and they got him. They got him in jail now or in prison now because of the disappearances or the deaths of two women. And so the cops are now saying it's just so unbelievable. Just,
they got him. They got him.
54 for 54 other women. They want to talk to him now.
Yeah, they got him for two, and he goes, "Yep. I did 48 more. I have 48 more." And, Jim will tell you more about that one.
Yeah, we're all goners. Yeah. All right. Well, on that cheerful note.
Well, you know, we usually do have a cheerful note, but today we're just getting down on society because there's a bunch of characters out there.
It's because the world is shot to hell and we're all goners.
And that's it. And it's not just the heat.
All right. Thank you. Ed McCarthy, try to stay cool, my friend. We will talk to you tomorrow, hopefully, with that less distressing news of the world.
That's unless I snap, and then you want to, no, I'm just kidding.
See, if you snap, the good thing is if you snap, we already know what it's going to sound like. That's going to be your sound as you're wielding a mallet, and
you know what Roop will sound like if he snaps.
He'll just sound like, because he does a good imitation of you. So if he snaps, he'll just probably snap as Ed McCarthy.
The only guy I ever knew that when we were down at Katrina, and he was on talking to an affiliate, he says, I'm using Ed McCarthy as a flotation device.
Zing.
Ask him about that one.
That's what I'm doing. Sam, I'm telling you, man, we're looking into this. We're going to do something, because we do these listener parties a few times a year. I'm going to try to get some listener party hooked up where we get all y'all to come up here. We get you, we get Roop, we get Lisa Goddard. Come in. Everybody gets in the door. It's going to be a great time, my friend. That's a party to look forward to.
Boy, Lisa Goddard. Boy, what a duty she has right now.
Oh, man. And I thought when she was in transit that she was coming back home from Jerusalem. It's like one hot spot to another. She's in Damascus. So
yeah, I'm sure she'll be on Zoloft soon doing that duty.
Undoubtedly. All right, Ed, we will talk to you soon, my friend.
Okay, take care.
Thank you. There you go. There's CNN radio correspondent Ed McCarthy.
It's all about the quickening.
It really is,
the quickening slowed down for a while.
It is. The quickening took some time off, and now it's returned. Has it gotten hotter in this room?
It's hotter in here.
Is it hotter where you are?
Hotter. It is hotter over here.
By the way, because people have been asking me about it, I've been swindled again. I've been taken in by this National Enquirer piece. You'd think that I would learn. The front page, huge letters, and of course it's in a big pink headline, so it catches your eye. And it says, Hollywood boobs. Who's are real? Who's are fake? And then you open it up and you picture it something exciting and fantastic. And of course, it's all the usual suspects. It's exactly who you would think it would be. This is not even a challenge. I'll just quickly go through this. I bet Sarah, you will score we'll do this really quickly. Then we'll go to the city desk. Then we should do some fake metal lyrics. Then we get the rock star.
So who is saying that they've actually had work? Is it judged on whether or not the celebrity says that they've had a breast implant?
No, this is... Wait, hold on.
Or by, like, professional assessment.
This is a professional assessment by... who? This is some guy. It's a doctor. Who is it? Oh, wait, no, I'm sorry. I missed another page. There is actually a separate page.
Oh.
But this... The guy who has weighed in on Hollywood bosoms and whether they are real or not, his name is Dr. Howard Bellin of Cosmetica Surgery in New York. He gives his professional opinion on whose bosoms are real and whose are not. He has performed 2,500 breast enlargements. You want to talk about a job. It must be so unbelievably easy to get laid as a doctor that does breast enhancement. I can't even imagine. You must just have women dripping off of you like so much summertime sweat. All right. Yeah, he notes all of the different... Okay, so I'm just going to give you a quick... I'm going to give you a quick name check, and you tell me whether or not real or fake.
Okay.
All right, Lindsay Lohan.
Fake.
Yeah, see? There you go. And see, I would have said yes, that they were real.
No.
I thought that was... Because what weren't she like...
Have you ever looked at my website? You can tell. I mean, you can see when she's rail thin, her breast implants are just popping out.
See, I've never seen that photo. Apparently, she is mysterious... This is according to her. She's mysteriously blossomed into a busty young lady. Well, that's a good job then, because I would... At her current weight... Maybe I've never seen her when she was a stick, because I've only seen her when she was more full-figured. Mm. And they seemed real then. That's a good job. All right, Britney Spears.
Fake.
Yeah, see, and that's another one I would not have guessed fake. I would have guessed... Here's my speculation about Britney Spears. And we're speaking... These are medical discussions we're having now, because this is... He is a doctor. And because I know that this is a medical procedure that many women ponder having, and we feel it's only right that you have an informed opinion.
I would get breast implants if someone paid for them.
What do you need? Really?
Probably, yeah.
Now? Okay, we're going to stop everything.
No, I mean, no, I know a lot of women who would if they didn't have to pay for them.
That's fine.
Not ridiculously large.
That's
but.
Fine. I'm putting down, all I'm saying is we're putting down the Enquirer and we're stopping and we're taking a brief turn now. Because we're going to pursue that. Because if I didn't, the audience would lynch me.
No.
So, now I'm not going to ask you to reveal personal information such as measurements or what. I'm not going to do that. But I'm going to say that you are and I say this in a non-creepy way. This is my professional. We have a warm, sibling-like relationship. I want you to know that Sarah is actually at this moment unbuttoning her shirt.
No, I'm buttoning my shirt.
Oh, I thought you were unbuttoning it to look down. I'm not staring at your bosoms.
I'm feeling a little uncomfortable.
You will note that I make a... It's not even... It doesn't even
I'm
take an effort.
Kidding,
you know that I'm saying
know.
You know I am not that guy.
I know you're not.
Because we have this weird... Well, not weird, but now we do have this weird sibling-like... The whole concept, because people ask about it, just like... So, like... Well, you could help me by not saying,
no,
at the thought of it.
No, it's not you. It's just like I've had that, too, where I've had girlfriends of friends come up to me and be like, you know, I just really am uncomfortable sometimes with you and, you know, being friends with my boyfriend. It's one of those things where you don't even, it doesn't even occur,
to you. Cause, and I'll get guys who go like.
It gives you that shudder.
I'll get guys who are like, so, come on, you know, between you and me, you and Sarah, right? And I'm like, ugh. Oh, see, the whole thing, it just makes me, it makes me cringe. I just can't, no one ever believes me when I say this. And you are.
I work in a small room with someone for like 3 plus
years. See Sarah sweat and sniff her armpit.
See Rick's hair fall out in front of you.
See me, see my weight go up and down like a bad Macy's Day float. No, but I will say that you're a very charming and vivacious young lady, but no one ever believes me when I say that I honestly, because it's always a lie when guys say this. But it is true when I say, I just do not think of you that way. And I think that you would probably say the same about me. Mm-hmm. But what was I saying? So you, but you are, as they say, you are, I would say, a well-proportioned woman. Yeah. And that's not code, like when they say, you know, she's curvy, which always means, like, big, you know. I'm saying you are, but you, everything is in proportion. Because that's the only reason, to me, that women seek breast implants is because they feel that.
No, but have you noticed that women lately are sick thin and their breasts are completely out of proportion with their bodies?
But that's what I'm saying. What's that?
Not around this town.
No, not here.
Not here.
If you watch television, I'm outside of this area. Yeah, maybe, we'll see.
Maybe not in Portland. In Portland, it just looks like they put the implants into the wrong part of their body by mistake. That's what it is.
Several implants.
Did you want these on the back? You know? That's the thing. But see, that's why implants don't look, they just don't look real most of the time anyway. And they look all, you know, they just look like they've been Velcroed on the front and they look.
Lindsay Lohan's, she got some really good implants.
They almost,
really tell.
Well, but sometimes you ever see them, they almost look painful. Because it's like you're thinking the balloon that's about to, that's at its stretching point.
Like Anna Nicole Smith and her giant square boob.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. That's what I'm talking about. And again, we're now speaking because this is a medical and sociological issue that affects many women. And therefore, by extension, affects many men. But the problem with the rail thin model, and you know, I'm not into rail thin women anyway, and most guys, I think, probably aren't. But the rail thin women who have the big implants, the problem with that is, again, is it's disproportionate. You take a woman like Portia de Rossi. Now, again, she is not my body type at all, because she's way too thin, way too surfboard for me. But by the same token, I would take Portia de Rossi over a thin woman who had huge, fake, terrible implants. Because it's weird and wrong. It just seems ugly. It just
depends on what size you get, too.
Yeah, that's the whole thing.
But I don't know if I'd ever actually be willing to take that chance, because you see so many bad ones, like Tori Spelling.
Now, are you saying a lift, or are you saying an implant? Because I think some women say implant when they mean a lift, because you get to be whatever.
Either or.
40, and it's like ankle time, and then you gotta, you know, you gotta get them, you know, sort of, it's like a face, it's the difference between a facelift and, like, having collagen put in your lips. There's a difference.
I know what the difference is. I don't know. Either.
So if some guy said, look, baby, like if Nate came home, not that Nate would do this. I'm sure he loves you the way you are. If Nate came home, he's like, baby doll, I got my bonus. How about some new bosoms? Like, you would do that? That seems wrong. I would say.
I've never said I wasn't superficial.
Now, see, but I'm trying to head this off at the pass here.
I'm not going to get fake breasts, Rick.
Well, you said that. Okay, I'm just saying, because I
have many other things I'd like to spend money on other than that. I'm saying if the opportunity ever arose and, like, some, you know, wonderful plastic surgeon in Hollywood.
Like a trade.
Yeah.
We'll be running the spots, first spot in every spot set for the next 10 years.
If I do some live reads for breast implants.
The same ones, they'll never update the copy.
Sure, yeah.
They'll be going insane every time there's a commercial.
Seriously, some agency.
Somebody's going to do that right now.
Some terrible agency buy for breast implants.
Visit us now at the Gresham Clinic.
Do you sell 15s? Anyway, we've gotten so far afield.
Let's guess what other celebrities have them.
All I'm saying is, I catch myself sometimes because even though you know it's innocent, I don't wish to even appear creepy when I say these things. But I'm saying, I believe you're all right the way you are. You don't want to tamper with, you know, with a good thing that's already there.
Well, thank you.
It's the same reason I don't get, and I'm speaking just for me now. I'm not passing judgment. I'm saying for me, it's the same reason I don't get LASIK. And I know people have tried to push that on me. People have tried to push LASIK on me. And again, I'm not saying it's unsafe. I'm not saying any of that. I'm saying for me, I am a big believer, even though I have bad vision and I wear glasses, most, or contacts, for me, I don't want to monkey with the equipment. You know what I mean? The idea of a guy.
You're uncomfortable with the thought of lasers in your eyes?
Well, I know that it's, everybody says it's safe, and I know a lot of people who've had it, and they're very happy. I think Sean Couples had it, as a matter of fact. But to me, the idea of a guy whittling bits of my eye away with a laser makes me awkward. Yeah. That makes me feel uncomfortable.
Especially if it's one of Halama's accounts. No, way back when.
Not that we'll have to deal with that anymore, apparently. That was Tim Riley who said that.
I didn't say that.
I welcome any and all accounts from Paul Halama.
Me too, Paul.
I welcome most of them.
Jesus Christ. I don't even know what we're talking about.
I think... who is the other guy with the giant black truck?
Steve Pelequin.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. If you'd like to advertise on the Rick Emerson Show for whatever reason...
For breast implants or hair transplants.
That's not that we are soliciting, because we...
Colon cleansing, that's always a good one.
In no way do we are soliciting this. In no way are we offering any sort of a quid pro quo for consideration. All right, let's quickly go through the rest of these. Who's are real, who's are fake? According to this guy, Dr. Howard Bellin. Okay, Britney Spears, you say fake. Here's the thing. This is where you got off the track by mentioning that you would get a breast enlargement.
She got them when she was very young, though.
Now, but see, everybody says that. But I don't believe that Britney's are fake, and I will tell you why. Because if they were fake, they'd seem big all the time, and they don't. A lot of time, it depends on what she's wearing. Sometimes she's like Madonna. Sometimes I see her, she looks very curvy. Sometimes I see her, she looks very modestly endowed.
But then again, they're saying Lindsay Lohan had them, and same thing with her.
Yeah, maybe. All right, Jessica Simpson.
You know, I've never really been sure with her. I think it might be a lift.
He says, well, he says real, so at the very least, not implants. Beyonce Knowles.
Real?
Nah, he says fake.
No way.
He says based on the volume and definition.
Okay.
I do not believe that them. All right. Scarlett Johansson.
Real.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's all God's handiwork right there. Assembled personally by Jesus, I do believe. I'm pretty sure that was, you know...
She is a lucky girl.
You know, yeah, it's like, remember back in the 80s, you would hear about the Cabbage Patch Dolls, and they spun this fiction that all of the Cabbage Patch Dolls were crafted by hand by that guy, Robert Xavier, or whatever his name was, the guy who created them. You know, he's like, we stitched them all by hand and lovingly craft them by one, which was a bunch of crap. They just like some underfed kid in Malaysia who was making them for 14 cents an hour. But there were a couple. There were some, like the ones they sold at FAO Schwartz, that were made by Robert Xavier by hand. She's made by hand by Robert Xavier. God subcontracts out a lot of his work. Not so with Scarlett Johansson. Yeah, God created her. God spent a lot of time on the workshop bench with her. Christina Aguilera.
Fake.
Yes, totally. And see, that's where you can tell, because you look at her a couple years ago and you look at her now, and it's like night and day. She has gotten so much hotter, though. I never used to find her all that hot.
She's one of those out of proportion girls that it does look really good on her.
I guess, and for me, it's not even that. It's just like facially and all of that. Just her, the whole package with Christina Aguilera, she has gotten so much hotter. I never used to find Christina Aguilera all that hot. But man, you know what it is? It's when she's dropped the slutty, skanky look, and she now has the 50s look. She has that, Marilyn Monroe, and who's the other woman I'm thinking of?
Gwen Stefani
a little bit, but also the Veronica Lake.
Yeah.
She's got that kind of look going on. Mm-hmm. All right. Angelina Jolie.
Oh, fake.
No, he says real.
Mm.
He says real. He says...
I question that.
It's hard with her because everything about her looks fake. Everything about her hair looks fake. Her eyebrows look fake. Her lips look as fake as hell. He claims she's real. Jessica Alba, I know those are totally real.
Mm-hmm.
They're pretty small, aren't they? Everybody thinks that she's such a knockout body-wise. And she's, I mean, I'm not saying she's ugly, but everybody refers to her as being so decked out, and I don't see it. And finally, the easiest. Who is the easiest breast implant job to spot in the entire world, celebrity-wise, Sarah Dillon?
Tara Reid.
Yeah, there you go. Right there. There's a photo of her, actually, where she doesn't look that bad. Look at this photo of her in this white top. That doesn't look bad.
Oh, no, it doesn't.
No, that doesn't look bad, but that's the exception that proves the rule right there. That's the one photograph. All right. Damn,
what
are we behind again? We were going to do Spot the Fake Metal Lyrics and, oh yeah, news with Tim Riley, who spent hours preparing a newscast this morning.
Yeah, we have so many commercials.
How you doing, Tim?
Oh, fine. No, I'm just enjoying the breast implant stories.
That's what we do. Hello there. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. It is the Rick Emerson Show. Here's what we're going to come back. We will have the Rockstar Recap. Also, what else? Oh, Jim Roop. Jim Roop will be talking to us live from Los Angeles. We've also got a little bit of whatnot from Scotty J that we'll get to. Coming up at 3, Likas, Don and Mike at 7, John and Jeff at 11. You stay there. It's a Rick Emerson Show on AM 970, Solid State Radio.